Isn't this a sports show?
And I hope you're happy. Those of you thought we started too sportsily.
Yeah, seriously.
Almost entirely.
We knighted an elephant.
We knighted an elephant.
Live on radio. First time ever.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We'll see. I threw some things into some DMs, and we'll see if they slide back into mine.
Wow.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
You know what we are? We're a bunch of
losers.
Oh, God.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Not a sexy bottom third. Also, yep, I would love to take back the phrase sexy bottom third.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Defense? Where we're going, we don't need no freaking defense. It's a new era. It's a new world. The Kansas City Chiefs are exclusively an offensive franchise at this point. I'm wondering how many games this team could win if they literally just trotted out 11 tackling dummies on defense. Actually, 10 and Eric Berry. If the Chiefs just ran out 10 tackling dummies and Eric Berry on defense, I think they would win 6 games at this point. Seriously, the Chiefs keep making free agent moves, and also more rumors keep coming towards the Chiefs in the offensive side of free agency. Defense, we'll see. Not of your concern. Welcome to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. I only feel the need to set the show at the beginning of the show to let you know that we're only here for an hour today. Today's show is 4 to 5.
Boo.
Well, we have, if this just happens today and tomorrow, and then we're probably good for a while. Beards hates this show more than anyone else I know, but also gets the most upset whenever we're out an hour early. I don't really get it. But today's show is just going to be mainlining the show for an hour. Because we're here from 4 to 5 today and tomorrow, because at 5 here on ESPN Kansas City, there's some NCAA tournament pregame stuff going on. So instead of us, you'll still be getting special programming, which is nice, starting at 5. Anyway, that's the plan for today. And Seth Kizer, who usually, whenever he joins us at 5, is going to be here in about 10 minutes. Not here. He's in Minnesota. But we're going to talk to him here in about 10 minutes. All I feel like I can do at this point is sort of get you up to speed with some things that have been happening in the last 24 hours or so. First and foremost, at BetterJBBriscoe is the second me parody account on Twitter, and this one's really making inroads. I'd encourage you to go follow at BetterJBBriscoe, see how they grow it. I do think this is a person that I know personally. I don't have a specific accusation to make, but my eyes are open.
We have an idea. Maybe. Of a source.
Yes. I think the most realistic possibility is that at BetterJBBriscoe is an amalgamation of several people in my life working together. Not several. 2 or 3. That's my guess currently, but it's very good so far. Because it's someone that has information that hasn't been put out into the public regarding some behind-the-scenes stories. They also seem to know my disdain for whenever my roommates don't put away their dishes, which is something that, in fairness, I have talked about on the show.
You have. We had a whole segment about that.
Also, one of my favorite things is that in the bio, they say that they're the third best radio show host in Kansas City, and you can listen to them on 420 AM and 60.9 FM, which is, admittedly, pretty funny. So that's one thing that you need to know about. The other thing you need to know about is that the Chiefs continue to add to this offense. Now, this one isn't the showstopper. They're going to be signing, or are currently signing, or did currently sign earlier today, running back Damian Williams, former Miami Dolphins running back. He's apparently known for his ability to catch passes out of the backfield, also apparently a good special teamer. These are two things I saw on Twitter. That's why I say apparently. I haven't cut real deep into the Damian Williams tape yet. Please forgive me. Please forgive me of my trespasses. But a tweet from Mike Clay earlier
today summarizes something else that I'm really enjoying about this offseason. He tweeted, "There are teams with severe needs at wide receiver and tight end, and here are the Chiefs trying to sign Kendall Wright and Ben Watson as backups." The Chiefs are at a place now where I don't think you can even be afraid of them overpaying for a backup. So I don't take this as a criticism. These are good football players. Benjamin Watson, though he is 37 years old and is a guy that has been rumored around the Chiefs for the last 48 hours or so. We might have mentioned it briefly yesterday, but not a ton. Benjamin Watson's 2 years younger, 2 or 3 years younger than Brett Veach, and they entered the league at the same time, which is hilarious. Brett Veach entered the league in 2004 as a summer intern for the Philadelphia Eagles. Benjamin Watson entered the league in 2004 in the NFL draft, which, again, I just feel like is kind of amazing. But age notwithstanding, it's a number two tight end that helps your young quarterback, give you some depth behind Travis Kelce, gives you another red zone option. Sammy Watkins also has been pretty good in the red zone, even though he's not Odell Beckham-sized. But Benjamin Watson helps that red zone problem, takes some heat off Travis Kelce. I like it. It's fine. It's also a win-now move. This is not a move that you're doing because you think he's going to help you win in 2019. This is a move because you want this offense to be really good this year. And now, I don't know if the Chiefs at this point can get themselves defensively to a place where they have a defense that is shaping up to win the AFC West. But right now, honestly, it looks like they're just going to try to outscore everybody. And if they're going to go 8-8 next year or 9-7 next year, I would so much rather them go 8-8 while scoring 40 points a game than go 8-8 while giving up only 16. That just sounds like more fun. Why did your mouth just open? Beards' jaw just dropped, and then he got angry.
So I saw on Reddit, Monty Python might be going to Netflix. Holy Grail and Life of Brian are pretty much confirmed, and maybe Flying Circus, although it might be just Netflix UK, and US Holiday this year. Yay!
Anyway, the Chiefs might not have to stop anybody this year because they could be scoring 40 points a game. Probably not going to be, but at the very least, even if you don't even want to, like, try to convince yourself that 2018 is an option for this team being legitimately good, you should at least take solace in the fact that this team is going to build the best possible supporting cast for Patrick Mahomes, so he's going to have, hopefully, the easiest rookie season possible, and that only helps get him into the swing of things as a first-year quarterback. It's extremely exciting. So defense be damned. This team is going to have talent so deep into this offense. And listen, I don't think this team needs Kendall Wright. But is Kendall Wright better than Chris Conley? I mean, yeah, probably. And better than Demarcus Robinson? Yeah, I guess so. I just hadn't really considered that until this exact moment. So it's kind of weird, but it also kind of works. So that's your Chiefs free agency update. Still, I am absolutely on board with the Chiefs going and getting Eric Reed, even as we know that they would absolutely have to tighten their belts and make this more of a 2019-2020 payout for Eric Reed. I would still absolutely be on board with that. That's something we'll eventually get to with Seth Kaiser. So we're going to talk to him here in just a minute. He's done a film review for Sammy Watkins. He's done a film review for Anthony Hitchens. I'm pretty sure he did a film review for Xavier Williams also. He's deep into the offseason film. There's no better time to talk to him. So we're going to take a break here. Whenever we come back, we'll talk to Seth Kaiser, who's at RealMNChiefsFan on Twitter. But you knew that already. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Beards, what kind of cuddler are you? Are you a big spoon, little spoon? Are you an aggressive cuddler? Do you
aggressive cuddler?
Do you have disdain for human touch?
I don't know what an aggressive cuddler is.
You're looking at one right now, I'll tell you that.
It sounds like someone who needs an attorney, honestly. I don't think that's something you want to be.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Listen, I'll cop to this on a public setting right now. I am an aggressive cuddler in a consensual sense.
Comma, officer.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Oh, it's so good. That makes me so happy every time. I could be in a terrible mood, and I think that would get me out of it. I'm not in a terrible mood, though, because Seth is here. So I don't know. What comes first? The liner or Seth? I don't know. I don't know what truly brings me the most joy, but either way, I've been looking forward to this segment for a while. I thought we were going to do this at 5 o'clock today, but in case you're joining us now, PSA, today's show has been shortened. This is a one-hour show today, but we are still going to give you a full portion of Seth Kizer. I don't know what that means.
You're going to give them a full portion of me, huh?
Yeah, I've started watching the TV show Hannibal.
Oh, good!
And so I wonder if that what was getting into my psyche then.
Interesting. I'm glad you weren't watching like iZombie or something like that.
One of my housemates started watching Hannibal. The first episode, I sat down like 2 minutes into it, and I didn't move for an hour. It was fascinating. And so I've got like 5 episodes of that on the brain now. Maybe that was getting in. I don't mean to bring you in to have the listeners cannibalize you, but maybe like intellectually. Maybe we can intellectually cannibalize you. That's what we're doing. That's actually perfect.
Oh, hey, that works for me.
Yeah, we're here to cannibalize your film review. You've done all of the work, and then you can give us these little bite-sized portions. This is perfect. With a nice Chianti. Is that the reference? All right, good.
It works perfectly.
Okay, so I want to get to, like, legitimately, I have a list here of, I think, 6 different players or position groups. But first, I want to start you off on the appetizer here, really, Seth. I want the appetizer to be a kind of a large-scale question, which is, what have you learned in the last few weeks about the Chiefs and Brett Veach?
They're aggressive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we expected to an extent, but you never know, because they always say, be aggressive, mm-hmm. right? They always mm-hmm. say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I'll never forget when Scott Pioli was still running the Chiefs, and as the first down started to wind down, he's like, hey, don't go anywhere to the media, like implying he would trade up, and Chiefs fans were like, ooh, are they going to come back in the first round? And then nothing happened.
Right.
Which was one of many, many complaints I have to give to Scott Pioli if me and him ever meet, but that's
yes.
neither here nor there. So they say things, and you think, okay, tamper it back about 50%. But instead, they've been super aggressive. And so, I mean, we found out that he means it when he says that he's aggressive. Mm-hmm. We've also found out that they are really all in on Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
They are building this team around Patrick Mahomes and the idea of a video game track meet offense. Yep. If we thought they were... You know what I mean? Like I figured, hey, you know what? Go all in, spend a bunch on defense because the offense was pretty good last year.
Yep.
But they've decided pretty good is not acceptable.
Yep.
They want much, much more. And we also know that they really like Sammy Watkins.
Yes. And so let's go ahead and talk about Sammy Watkins then. Let's drive in that direction. That was one of the 15 film reviews you've done in the last 2 weeks that I want to touch on a little bit. I've already tried to share it to some extent, but in your own words, with your own kind of, with your own eye and your own breakdown, what was the ultimate conclusion that you came to at the end of your Sammy Watkins review?
That Sammy Watkins on film is an exceptional wide receiver with almost no weaknesses in his game. Mm.
I'll take
that. That'd be the one sentence snippet.
Yes.
The production does not match the film at all, which I don't know if you saw, but Brett Veach clearly reads my work. This is the only explanation I can
yes.
think of this. He said in his press conference, he commented, you know, just watch the film.
Yep.
He was open all the time. And that's what I would tell people. He was open constantly.
Yep. And it makes sense that he would have lived through a scenario that would give us some misconceptions about him, because his career has been E.J. Manuel and Tyrod Taylor and then Jared Goff going into a very highly schemed offense with, like, what was it, like 2 weeks of prep time? Like, the Rams traded for him in August.
Yep. He got in there very late. Here's something that's interesting to note about Sammy Watkins. So his rookie year, he puts up about 1,000 yards in a terrible offense. Right. And everyone's saying, okay, he's the next big thing. And everyone expected that.
Yep.
His second year, he plays 13 games, and in 13 games goes over 1,000 yards and scores 9 touchdowns. Very statistically productive. Then he has a season where he's hurt half the year, right?
Yep.
And then he goes to the Rams.
Yep.
And like you said, with the Rams, it was kind of an interesting situation because he got thrown into a very, very, very schemed offense because McVay does not trust Jared Goff at all.
Right.
That's one thing I learned watching that, and I feel bad saying that because I feel bad saying that about Jared Goff. But
it's fair,
it's
though.
He's so protected by scheme there. They want to give him as many easy throws as possible. So he's had a unique situation, but the reality is people act as though Sammy Watkins has never been a wildly productive receiver. He has. In fact, he's had 2 years where he wasn't a really productive receiver. One of them, he was hurt for half the season. And the other one was the situation we just talked about with the Rams. And that's why what the purpose of my film review was, you know, you chart every route and you see how often is this guy getting open? How often is he creating separation? And that's what you chart with wins, losses, and neutrals in the case of wide receiver. In his case, his win percentage was above 40%, which is unbelievably high.
Hmm. Okay, so I would like you to rank for me, please, the three pass catchers in the Chiefs offense right now.
Oh, come on.
It's impossible, but that's why I'm asking you to do it.
So if I were to rank them based on the skill set that I see on film, number one is Travis Kelce, because I don't think there's anyone like him in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He cannot be covered. He just cannot be covered. Number two, I'm going to take so much flack for this. If we're going based on last year's film alone, with the caveat that that's not necessarily predictive, and that one of these players has talked a lot about working on his route running even more and may come back and be even more of a monster this next year, I would call Sammy Watkins' 2017 film a little more impressive than Tyreek Hill's.
Okay.
I'm still going to be killed on Twitter for this.
I am absolutely going to tweet that you just said that Tyreek Hill is this team's third best pass catcher.
No, please don't do that to me, Josh. My mentions are a mess already. You don't even know, man. It's been horrible. It's like a scene from Book of Eli in my mentions lately.
That's such a good reference. Listen, man, if you ever get tired of those 10,000 followers, you can send them to me, and I'll deal with those terrible, gross mentions. No, fine. I may or may not tweet that. But my larger point that I actually really wanted to get to is, can you please help me understand how psychotic it is that you just said that Tyreek Hill is this team's third best pass catcher, which also implies that Kareem Hunt is this team's fourth best offensive playmaker outside of the quarterback. Like, that's, not only is there not a current NFL comparison to that, I can't think of a modern NFL comparison to that, to just really lean into the hyperbole.
I think it's insane, too, because keep in mind, I think Tyreek Hill was a top 10 wide receiver last year in the league.
Right.
Now, he was obviously more productive than Watkins, obviously. However, on film, and keep in mind, I push back very hard against the idea that Tyreek Hill is a gadget player. He's not. Anyone that calls him a gadget player, I don't even know what to tell you.
Right.
You can chart his routes. But I will say this, Watkins is a better route runner than Hill. He's also a better hands catcher than Hill. Mm-hmm. Now, Hill has his hands are just fine, and he makes some really nice catches. But Watkins has superior hands, and he runs superior routes. It's very close. But the amount of talent between those two is absurd. And like you said, it's borderline unprecedented when you take into account the raw speed both guys have.
Yes.
And then you factor in Travis Kelce, who, again, I think is the best player of the three of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Also, not to disagree with the idea that they're going all in for Patrick Mahomes, but just for anyone who might be skeptical about Mahomes, I would argue that not only, I mean, this, you could argue that this is a huge investment in him, but it also, you could argue, is a huge investment in just, like, in propping him up. Like, for Patrick Mahomes to look bad next year, at this point, seems borderline difficult. And now, I know that I'm setting us up now for some terrifying fall from grace. But, like, you have Andy Reid and then all of these incredible playmakers around him. it would be sort of catastrophic for this offense to not be extremely good next year, right?
I absolutely agree. Think okay. about this. When you look at the offense, what you have is a situation where you can start with the playmakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and Kareem Hunt rivals any group in the league.
Yes.
In terms of your top four playmakers.
Yes.
That's a great group, okay? And then you also have, obviously, Andy Reid, great offensive head coach. Then you also have the fact of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Every player they have on the offensive line at this point was here last year.
Yep.
And most of them, actually, have been here for multiple years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And that's actually the case when you look at all the receivers as well. Everyone that's expected to be a contributor to next year's offense, except Sammy Watkins, has been in the system for at least a year. That's huge because that means they don't have to waste as much time on install
yep.
as other teams would.
Yeah, that's a great
they
point.
Have continuity. They have playmakers. It's an unbelievable. I'm trying to think of a situation that a rookie quarterback has come into, or not a rookie quarterback, now he'll be a second-year quarterback, that has been this set up to succeed. Now he's had the precious, you know, 1 year of development that mm-hmm. everyone wanted so badly mm-hmm. that you and me both thought was, maybe not necessary.
Yes.
But he's had that 1 year development. He even got to start a game.
Yes.
So he's had a little practice under live fire. He's got everything going for him. Mahomes, to fail, will have to be a legitimately bad football player at this point.
Right. And Seth, I honestly, with no exaggeration in my voice at all, I am so terrified of that somehow happening. Nothing would crush me more. I just can't even imagine. I can't imagine. I would have to quit Twitter. I would have to delete my account. I wouldn't be able to deal with it.
Well, you know, and the wonderful thing for me is film review works no matter what.
Right.
It works if Mahomes explodes and takes the league by storm, and it works if he busts horribly because I can write about that.
Yep.
So I'm good either way. But I will tell you this. There are maybe just a couple of players since I've really started investing my time in this and writing about this stuff that I have been, like, convinced we're going to be studs. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine about this the other day, and he and I agreed on one of them. There are three that I was absolutely dead convinced were going to be animals in the league. Justin Houston, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt. And I have that same feeling with Patrick Mahomes. I think he's going to be a stud. I think he's going to be fantastic. And I think it's going to happen sooner than anyone thinks.
Literally, I mean, every iota of me agrees with you, but I'm just so terrified of it just falling apart somehow.
You've been hurt before.
I have been hurt before. Here, really quickly on the offensive side of the ball, give me 30 seconds on each of these. Let's start with two prospective additions. There have been some rumblings that the Chiefs have been interested in 78 and I was going to say 37, but actually let's stick with 73-year-old Benjamin Watson and also in Kendall Wright. Do both of those guys make sense? Does one of those make more sense than the other? Where are you at on the potential additions of AARP and Kendall Wright?
Kendall Wright's a perfectly competent slot receiver that I think could help, but I would prefer Watson, despite the whole age thing, because I'd really like the Chiefs to have a more reliable second tight end.
Yes.
Watson's a good blocker, good receiver, good overall player.
One bit of pessimism I've seen for the offense, it just showed up in my Twitter timeline right before you came on, is do you have any concerns about this offensive line? You just mentioned they've all been together for a while. I've talked a lot about where I land on this, but as the offense has pretty much come together now, we believe, do you look at this offensive line as something that could derail this project?
No, I don't. Mitch Morse can play. LDT can play. Mitch Schwartz can play. Fisher regressed a little last year, but still wasn't terrible. Left guard is the biggest concern everyone has.
Mm-hmm.
And while Witsman wasn't good, he wasn't like, you know, Mike McGlynn horrific.
Right.
And so the idea is, okay, fine, you can be a little bit better. Or my personal hope is we're in draft with a couple of really good guards.
Mm-hmm.
My personal hope is maybe in the second round they can snag Wynn or Hernandez or something like that.
Interesting. I would be sick to my stomach if they drafted a guard in the second round because because of how desperately this team needs some defensive backs. Also,
hey, you said it yourself. We don't need no stinking defense.
Right, I guess we don't. Also, though, Zach Fulton and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif were both sixth-round picks, if I've got my facts straight. I would like Andy Reid just to just keep picking out those guys. Like, oh, I like this guy's traits, and we'll give him some time.
Sure. The only problem is it took both of them. You know, LDT was really bad his first year.
Yes.
And was really bad his second year. So I'd like them to take someone who could contribute right away. But I don't see left guard's the only spot I'm really worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And if your left guard is derailing your offense, you've got bigger problems.
Right. Okay, so let's pivot over to the defense now. You did a film review on Anthony Hitchens. I think some people have actually overreacted on this and say, you know what, this might be the biggest move they made this offseason. I don't think that's true. We've seen them invest in this offense so heavily that the offense is going to determine this season at least, because we know what the defense is. But signing Anthony Hitchens to a big deal to be the middle of your defense is absolutely a big move. If it wasn't for the Watkins signing, we would have spent a whole lot more time talking about Anthony Hitchens. So what did you see in your review of him?
Good player. Very good against the run. Aggressive. Knows his assignments. He's capable of shedding blockers, but he quite often is able to avoid them. He doesn't have great sideline-to-sideline speed, but it's adequate. Now, that's a big change from what DJ was in his prime, right, where we had elite sideline-to-sideline speed. But he is a little faster than Ragland. He reads and reacts incredibly well. He doesn't miss tackles. He hits hard. He can drop back into zone coverage competently. He's not great in man coverage, but he can do it. And so I assume that's why they're talking about him as a three-down guy.
Yeah.
His zone responsibilities, he was in coverage a ton with the Cowboys. And so he knows what he's doing. He gets proper depth on his drops, stays pretty aware of where receivers are coming. I think it's a good signing because inside linebacker play was really bad last year.
Yep.
And so it's between him and Ragland playing next to one another, I think you're going to see a pretty big uptick in run defense.
And the coverage thing was one of the first things that I saw, one of the things I saw most often from people who had already done the analysis on him. So I'd like to dig in there a little bit deeper. He's better in, just tell me if I'm wrong in any of this. He's better in coverage, more natural in coverage than Reggie Ragland is. This makes Hitchens, the guy that you just mentioned, you know, they can stay on the field for all three downs, and he makes sense as a big investment for a team that spends a lot of time in nickel. Is all of that accurate?
I think so, yes.
And then him beside Ragland's now going forward, you're no longer worried about the inside linebacker spot. You're not worried about, well, we'll get to the defensive line, I guess, in a second. But you're not worried about the inside linebacker spot anymore now with the two changes that Brett Veach has made in his time here, correct?
Correct. I like that. And I think Oligwe might be decent depth, too. We'll see what happens there. But I'm comfortable with inside linebacker for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when they finally got a competent guy next to DJ in Ragland, unfortunately, DJ wasn't quite what he used to be.
Right. But also, I would say the difference that was made by having at least competence next to Derek Johnson made Derek Johnson look even better than he would have without a Ragland next to him, if that's fair, I guess.
Yes, it did help compensate a bit.
Okay, let's actually backpedal from the linebackers for a second to that point that we just stumbled upon there. If the Chiefs don't make a signing in free agency for the safety position, is that them saying that they think that Eric Berry is going to look going to make his safety partner just look better than they are?
I have no idea what they're doing.
Me neither.
I don't. Everything that I'm seeing would tell me, you know, that the most obvious answer is that they think more highly of Daniel Sorensen and Eric Murray than we do.
Right.
Those are the answers that I have there. But we'll see. It's supposedly a decent safety draft, too. So maybe that's where they plan on addressing that position.
Defensive tackles out. Again, I promise we'll get to that in a second. But the secondary, to me, obviously stays the most interesting because I think you can argue that the Chiefs have three picks in this draft that you can anticipate potentially being day one contributors. Not that third round picks are locked into that because the third round has Justin Houston and Kavare Russell. So, you know, that is definitely a bit of a crapshoot. But I think you can argue at most they have three picks, and they certainly have two big defensive holes to fill. They need a cornerback better than David Amerson, and they need a safety better than Eric Murray. If you can go get Eric Reed or Trey Boston, I can't remember which one you prefer at this point. I think that you've talked about Eric Reed a bunch. But if you can go get one of those guys for the I think you said this also, the quarters on the dollar they're currently going for,
yes. It
to me would make a ton of sense to go get Eric Reed, pay him a little bit this year, pay more money to him in 2019 and 2020, have him and Barry back there, then you have real safety depth, the defense has one major hole in it, and then you can spend every pick of your draft on cornerbacks.
I would be perfectly fine going that route with either there's a few safeties that are still left. Boston and Reed are my two favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Boston, I think, is the superior coverage guy, but he is not good against the run, whereas Eric Reed is more versatile.
Mm-hmm.
But he's solid in coverage and against the run. He even can do the hybrid linebacker stuff if he needs to. He did that last year. Here's what I would say with regards to Reed. I've talked about him a bit more because I'm fascinated with what's developing with him.
Yes.
Based on what I know about him, and that's only based on what I see, right, on social media, et cetera, I don't think he's a guy who's going to be willing to accept a deal that's lower than what he perceives his value to be.
Mm-hmm.
Where just based on everything I'm seeing, I think what he would view as a low-ball deal is probably not something he'd be willing to accept.
Right.
And so I lean more towards Trey Boston just because I think you could probably get him for cheaper. And at this point, they're running up against the cap again a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now, not next year, but for this year, they're running out of room.
Yep.
And so I would love for them to go get Trey Boston, throw him over the top, and let Barry play that robber role or even not necessarily that hybrid linebacker safety role because you've got two linebackers now you can plug in there.
Mm-hmm.
But let Barry play more underneath. Let Boston roam, so that way you don't have to worry about him trying to play run defense.
Yeah. And then for the cornerback position, you said earlier that you would be happy with a guard in the second round, which makes me wonder what you think about what's currently going on as far as, presumably, the number two corner. I'm more confident in Kendall Fuller being the second guy, because I thought that's what the Chiefs were getting at the time, because Marcus Peters was still here. But what is your level of concern for the cornerback spots?
I'm pretty concerned. You know, when you look at how the Chiefs ended the season last year, mm-hmm. I mean, their coverage was horrendous for a lot of the season. And then when Steven Nelson got back and he got healthier and Darrell Revis came along, and it's not like Revis was great, but mm-hmm. he was competent in coverage,
mm-hmm.
the pass defense actually improved quite a bit.
Yeah.
And which showed me, okay, they just need competency at those two and three spots. They don't need all-world guys. Here's the thing. Steven Nelson, I think, is a competent corner.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Emerson, I have no idea. The Chiefs clearly think that he can play at a competent level. I have a ton of confidence in Kendall Fuller. So for me, there's a few too many what-ifs there.
Yeah.
You know, if Nelson plays at the level he closed out the year with last year, and if Emerson plays at the level he's played at previously, yeah, then they'll be fine. That makes me uncomfortable, though.
Yeah.
The idea, too many ifs. I don't like ifs. I think free agency is for rounding up the ifs and making them go away. That's what free agency is for. You plug the holes.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they've done that with corner. I'm more confident in the corner spots, though, than I am at the safety spots besides Eric Berry.
Interesting. I would take the other side of that, but it's close. I haven't heard anybody else say that. So that's interesting. Also, I'm with you on the free agency thing. And it feels like that's something that Brett Veach has done really well, especially with the signing of either Xavier or ex-Xavier Willingham's. And I'm not willing to say either one alone yet because I'm going to wait for him to say his own name out loud before I'm comfortable. but we can make him the X-Man. We can make him Professor Xavier. We've got lots of options.
You
did a film review on him as well. Did you do a full film review, or are you doing like GIFs and stuff? This is the one that I haven't read yet, if it exists.
It's a full film review.
Great.
Wins, losses, neutrals, pressure hits, sacks, the whole nine yards.
Fantastic. So like I just said, I've read the whole thing forward and backwards multiple times. this is actually fun because for once I don't know what conclusions you came to. What conclusions did you come to for Professor William Xavier?
I like the signing. He was asked to play in what I thought was a fairly different type of defense in Arizona.
Hmm.
They did a lot of one gap and penetrating, including from the nose tackle spot.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is he only played it, according to him, he played it about 295 last year.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still lining up at 0-1 tech, right? You know, right over the center
right.
or on either shoulder.
Right.
And so he did a lot of that last year, despite being a little light for that, which was perfect for what Arizona wanted. He's very stout, very naturally strong, plays with good pad level. He's not a pass rusher, at least based on what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he actually addressed that in his interview today, said he's been working on that. Like, that's his next big thing he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about a defensive lineman who's only had 3 years in the league is there's plenty of time.
Right.
He occasionally will have good pass rush snaps. I think he'll be a little bit better than Benny Logan in that regard, but it's not something I expect him to contribute in. One thing I really like, even playing at 295, he was very stout against double teams. Almost more stout than he was against individual linemen sometimes.
Hmm.
He just, apparently, I was reading his bio a little bit, he's a former wrestler.
Huh.
And so he just gets center of gravity. He
right.
just gets leverage. And so he's tough to move. And that'll be nice to see because while Benny Logan did a decent job with it last year, most of the guys on the Chiefs just got rolled by double teams. And they weren't able to keep guards and centers off the linebackers. I think he can do that. Now, he's a rotational piece. He's not a star, at least based on what I watched. But he does make me feel a lot better about the defense. And additionally, just as a little side note, you know, he gave an interview today with the Kansas City media, and he was talking about what Britt Reid and Bob Sutton talked to him about
mm-hmm.
in regards to the defense. And he talked about it being an attacking-style defense, about being asked to one gap and that kind of thing. And I'm wondering, based on the type of guy they chose to go after, because there are two gapping nose tackles still on the market.
Right.
They're out there. I mean, including Benny Logan.
Right.
And so what's interesting to me is what I saw on film as the year went along, whether they were in nickel or whether they were in their base, I saw less two gapping from the defense, from the defensive line. And I saw a little more attacking, especially like starting in the Dallas game is when I started to see it more. And I'm curious if his signing means that Bob Sutton is looking to, rather than have, you know, this big behemoth guy in the middle, have a guy who weighs about 305, 310, whatever, in Williams,
mm-hmm.
have him play nose and play a more aggressive one-gap attacking scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that so much
yeah.
because I think it fits to the strength of Chris Jones. I think it fits to the strength of Alan Bailey, of Raheem Nunez-Roches. Every single defensive lineman they have at this point now are guys whose best fit is attacking a single gap rather than trying to two-gap. And so I'm really hopeful that that's what this signifies. And so I'm going to choose to believe that moving forward.
That's fascinating, though. I haven't even thought about that and considered how much that would make sense for the personnel at hand, for Bob Sutton to do some bending to the personnel that he already has on hand. Yeah, that's fascinating. Seth, I would consider that an absolutely full meal of analysis. As always, thank you for bringing the the spice, the heft, the starches, and the full hearty meal, the full
yes.
food pyramid. That's there we go. That's what I was getting at. Is there anything that you would like to plug? Well, we give out your Twitter handle 47 times every time you're on. I'll do that again. But is there anything coming up
sure.
that people should know about, or are you just waiting for Brett Veach to sign somebody else you can review?
I'm waiting for that. One thing that I'm really excited about on the Chief in the North podcast that I do, which, you know, if people want to find it, it is available out there. I'm currently doing, and you and I have talked about this before, the war against box score analysis.
Yes, 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 yes.
I'm going to be coming out, hopefully next week, we'll see if Brett Veach does another crazy thing.
Right.
I'm going to be coming out with the episode on edge rushers soon. I already did the episode on quarterbacks and went through that stuff, and I'm really hoping to get that really moving after the draft. To explain to people why judging players based on, you know, touchdowns or sacks or total tackles or passes defensed even is just complete garbage, and they are doing themselves a disservice by gauging football players that way. So I'm excited for that.
I'm also excited to hear you talk about it. I'm looking forward to you calling someone an idiot. You, like, transcend name-calling better than anybody else that does this, and I want you to call someone an idiot.
I just can't do it, Josh. It's not in my nature.
Will you call me an idiot?
Well, you're just such a nice young guy, though. I'd hate to do that to you.
Wait a second. Am I coming door-to-door selling you cookies or something? Oh, what a nice young man. Okay, this is the 65-year-old Seth Kaiser.
I didn't use the word adorable, and so, I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry. You're a young dude. I don't know what to tell you.
You can catch Seth and Benjamin Watson playing bingo at their local bingo parlor. Seth, always good to talk to you.
Yeah, it was good talking to you too, Josh.
There's Seth Kaiser. You can follow him on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan as soon as his old mind can figure out what Twitter is. Just kidding. He's got like quadruple my followers. maybe five times. It's very close.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Next hour, we'll do Entirely Sports. How dumb am I? I fooled myself.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
And this show went by too fast. I blame Seth. And I mean, listen. Seth being on made this show go by faster. That's a compliment. It means less talking time for me. But I mean, you know.
Those are the other 9 hours a week.
Right. Well, hey, not this week. This week it's just eight. That is kind of nuts. Last week was like 6 hours. This week is 8 hours. Whew. I'm going to go get a foot massage. I'm not. That honestly, that sounds horrifying. Why would anyone want someone else to touch their feet? That sounds like the absolute worst. We got a bunch of comments because Seth was watching and people were watching with Seth. And so Seth, yeah, said he was watching while appearing and it was freaking him out. Did he know he wasn't going to be in studio, you think?
His flight got canceled?
I'm also wondering, he's mutual friends with someone that I know through a completely non-Chiefs-related thing.
Isn't that always weird?
Super strange.
When you find somebody on Facebook, you're like, wait a second, you're friends with this person?
Yeah.
That lives in a different city?
Yes. Like, he's Facebook friends with an admissions counselor that I met at MNU. And so,
interesting.
I'm going to have to do some detective work on that one, I guess. Everyone is warning Seth that he's going to be destroyed on Twitter for his spicy Tyreek Hill take, and I have not tweeted it yet because I don't want. I should attribute it to evil Seth Kaiser. That's what I'll do.
That's what you should do.
I can throw a bone to evil Seth Kaiser and not.
You mean that wasn't evil Seth Kaiser we had on that whole time?
We should eventually have him on. He's got to work on, like, he's got to get an absurdly exaggerated Minnesotan accent, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to get very accentuated in that regard.
And the laugh. He's got to get the laugh down.
Yes. And, yeah, eventually we should have Evil Seth Kaiser on. That's a very good idea. Chance says he thinks that the Chiefs' lack of signing a safety means that they're looking up to draft the safety high. What are the chances they move up into the end of the first to get that guy? This is not just me sending you to a different source for this, but I think that Kent Swanson, we've had on the show plenty of times, I think he's about to discuss this on his podcast, on the Arrowhead Pride, whatever, draft podcast or something. Just go to Kent's Twitter. And I think he'll have some specifics for you, but I do think that is something that you have to consider. Also, Brett Veach told us that it's something that they have to consider. Juan says Eric Reed took a knee, so it's not going to happen. I've been on this for a little bit now. Again, I'm going to give Clark Hunt the benefit of the doubt until he doesn't deserve it anymore. If we get to the draft even, certainly if we get to the season and Eric Reed does not have a team, then you have to say, wait a second, is he getting Kaepernicked? But as of right now, with Trey Boston also not yet having a team, I'm not willing to make that determination yet. If it gets to that point, then we absolutely will be able to make that determination. But I'd be very happy with either of those guys on this team. Seth's differentiation between their strengths and everything, I found very interesting. And Nathan says that the next best thing to reading Seth's post on Arrowhead Pride is listening to him on the radio, and that's really what we're here for. This show is really about two things in reverse order that I'll present them. One is giving the listeners the best possible product, which is only less important than me having fun and being able to hear my own voice.
And grow the Twitter followers.
At JB Briscoe.
With an E.
No. Stop it. At better JB Briscoe. You know what the next... I don't know how many fake me's are going to end up showing
100,
up.
100.
But the next one should just be at JB Briscoe with an E.
Yes.
That's the next one, right?
Unless it's already taken. It might be taken.
Let's see. Also, fake J.B. Briscoe has changed to evil J.B. Briscoe, clearly feeling the heat from evil Seth Kaiser. I think evil Seth Kaiser's handler is fake MNT. Oh, you're right. At J.B. Briscoe with an E actually had an account before my J.B. Briscoe existed, I believe.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There it is.
It wasn't the same connotation, so I wasn't going to use the same word.
No, it's just, it was very close. Hey, did you see that Royals Review tried to make every Royals player a cheese?
I did.
Did you see Alex Gordon joke?
I did.
Alex, do you mind really quick? You can swoop into the follow-up here just a second.
Go ahead.
You know, if all the Royals were different types of cheeses, Alex Gordon would be a not very Gouda.
Loser.
I deserve that. I absolutely deserve that. What were you going to say, Beards?
I was just going to say I hadn't read the actual article yet.
I haven't either.
You just wanted to make the joke and that was it?
Yep, that was it.
That's fine.
That's what we're here for. Oh, man. My Twitter, exclusively right now, my Twitter account is puns, tweets about terrorism, and the Chiefs' explosive offense. Oof, terrible choice of word. Dang it. Can't go from bombs to explosive offense. That was not on purpose.
Nope.
That was an accident.
Impressive offense.
Yeah, that'll do.
Okay.
That will do. I'm just mortified. I'm not mortified. I'm a little... where's the ooh boy? I want the original audio clip.
Ooh boy.
I don't remember the context of that, but if you're new to the show and you're wondering, wait, why is that on file? At some point, something was said somewhere, and Beards' response to it was simply,
ooh boy.
And it's my new favorite thing. And so now whenever someone makes a misstep and there's an awkward silence, and eventually it gets filled by,
ooh boy.
So there, we've explained a part of the show to you if you're new. Seriously, the show's over. Whenever we have guests, we usually don't even have guests in the first half of the show. So usually, this would be like hitting the halfway point. I don't know. It was fun, though. I enjoyed talking to Seth. Tomorrow, we'll come back and talk more about whatever it is.
Imagine if we only did an hour a week or an hour a day?
I mean, we would never have a guest. We would have to have all of our guests. Maybe we would do like 2-minute interviews. That'd be kind of fun. That's not already a thing somewhere on the station, is it?
Nope.
That doesn't already exist.
We're good.
No one else is doing any sort of like 2-minute drill. All right, good. We're safe. We'll save that for the future. Yeah, I can't even imagine. It is crazy how much it changes after some time. The difference between like, oh, am I going to do 30 minutes alone? To like, oh, I only 1 hour today. Pshaw. I've been drunk this whole time. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.